I always remember it this way. You can do without air for about 3 minutes, although you'd be in deep trouble if you went 3 minutes. You can go with about 3 days without water and about 3 or 4 weeks without food. But water, of course, is crucially important. It is World Water Day. And in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Heather Gingrich from Ingersoll, who is a mom, and I just love when she comes and visits in our studio, when she talks about water. We were hoping this morning to hook up with our friend Declan Waugh, who is a world-renowned researcher on the issue of fluoride. And I'll tell you, folks, I am not giving up on the fluoride battle. In fact, especially after the recent victory in Windsor, where they decided to get fluoride out of the water, we need to keep up the battle. If you could read through this brief summary of the latest report from the new U.S. National Research Council on the link between fluoride in your water and various horrible health side effects, you would say, we need to get the fluoride out of our water in London by noon today. And that would be too late because so much damage has already been done. But we are joined, I'm delighted to say, by Heather Gingrich, who has visited with us a number of times on the issue of water. She feels very passionately about it, and I want to tell you, she is getting a reputation around the world, literally, for her work on the water issue. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning. Happy World Water Day.
I'm sure that if you said that to anybody on the street in Ingersoll today, they would look at you like you'd had too much.
Oh, no way. No, this is a major deal for us here.
Good for you.
We did you know what we did?
What'd you do?
We started the Ingersoll Safe Water Center, which is modeled after the Walkerton Clean Water Center, but it's a community and not a building. So we take our water very seriously here in Ingersoll.
because we
have a lot of challenges.
We all think that we take our water seriously, but most of all, we take it for granted.
That's true. But we learned kind of the hard way. Not the hard way the way they learned in Walkerton when they got a body count. Our hard way was a little, it was a different path. It was like slow, hidden, sneaky. We just have a lot of health problems. We don't have a lot of dead people. We have a lot of sick people.
Okay. Now, do most people in the community know that? Do they understand it? Do they recognize that water is the issue?
It's growing. There are certain groups that really, it's like, yeah, this is a problem for me, and they've made the connection, especially to kidney stones. Kidney stones is the thing that'll sort of grab your attention because of the pain involved the quickest. And we have just a lot of, the chemistry of water is such that it's a kidney stone builder. And so when you find yourself in the emergency room, and you've got some attention, you're looking at anything to relieve the pain and never have to go through this ever again.
We have friends who have gone down the kidney stone path recently, and they tell you it is not a picnic.
No. And like I say, you get focused really quickly and looking for, like, why did this happen to me and how can I make sure it doesn't happen again? And so in Ingersoll, this has been sort of like one of the stories that we tell, like one of the ways that we can say, have you and your healthcare team considered the water chemistry? Because our municipal water reports show us, you know, that every community, including London, has to file. Even for the really pathetic, completely unacceptable, small number of things that we test for now, we don't meet drinking water standards for chemicals as it is, and the drinking water standards are pretty weak right now.
Okay, I wonder if you can clarify, because somebody who has just tuned in may think that you are from London. Let's compare the water issues in Ingersoll to the ones in London.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing that they have in common is they're both wet, but then after that, night and day. So London gets 80% of its water pretty much out of Lake Huron and then another 20% out of Lake Erie. So these are surface water sources, and by and large, they don't have a lot of dissolved mineral content. They're what we call soft waters. But their downside is that chemical pollutants, you know, like industry using our waterways as open sewers for the last couple hundred years. So we've got pharmaceuticals, pesticides, personal care products, industrial solvents. Those all end up in there. And so you have some chemical, like when I ran London water samples through the Olympic drug doping analyzer from the Vancouver Olympics, and was looking for, I guess, you know, a different kind of banned substance. You know, I found residues of sedatives and veterinary anti-inflammatories, and there's a rat poison in there, like something that's, you know, it's a residue, so it's not the intact chemical.
Or to put it another way, we drink the water that just flowed past Detroit.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you know what? Flow past Detroit in Lake Erie, but in Lake Huron, you got to think of what's going on in the watersheds of the communities up in Lake Huron, because all of their toilet water is going into Lake Huron, and that's what you're drinking.
Sorry, would you say that again? Our jaws just dropped.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it's sort of a well-known fact. I mean, whenever you dump anything down the drain or flush your toilet, it goes to the local municipal water treatment plant. And those water treatment plants were designed, like, you know, 50 years ago or better to remove certain things. So, you know, to get out the chunks, you know, the chunky bits, and to remove the chlorine that the municipality added as a disinfectant, and a few other things just kind of by accident. They weren't designed to take out, say, pharmaceuticals or pesticides or anything like that. So then that water, which is clear but maybe not safe, so the water that comes out, then that gets discharged into your local river, so all of the water from the sewage treatment plants in London end up getting dumped in the Thames, and yeah, it heads to Detroit. And then, like everything that's in the source water that comes from Lake Huron, you just look at what's going on in the communities in the Lake Huron Basin, and you're getting their toilet water. So, you know, like basically everybody, like Toronto is drinking my toilet water because, you know, we also discharge it into the Thames, and then after goes to Detroit, it goes into the west end of Lake Erie, and then to Lake Ontario.
Heather, what should we be doing?
We need to be asking better questions, first of all. We need to be doing open scans on our source water to see, you know, forget about this list. Burn the freaking list. It's from the 1970s. And it was based on what we were technologically able to test for at the time. So, but we, you know, different world now, we've got different technology, but the policies and the legislation have not kept step. They typically tend to be much slower than the science and the technology. They advance much faster. And so what we should be doing is we should be using the same kinds of techniques as the Olympic drug doping team, when we look at our water and what's in our water. And then once we find out what we're up against, and like I say, you know, there's lots of data. This is scary, scary stuff. That is certainly, there's no way it could not impact our health, especially of little people, pregnant women and small children.
Heather, hold the thought. We have to take a short break. I want to ask you to just expound on the very last point you made, and that is the impact on our health, because I think there is this perception that, yeah, the water's not perfect in Lake Huron, and it's not perfect in Lake Erie, but, gee, I look at the water that comes out of my tap, and I make tea, and I put a little honey in it, and it's wonderful, and it's those third world countries. They have the polluted water, but it's not something we have to worry about. Hello, we'll be back with Heather Gingrich in just a moment right here. And the lines are open, 643-1290. You're welcome to call 643-1290, back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
London in the Morning with Steve Garrison.
There's a new book here by a professor at the University of Calgary. He says being bored is good for your brain. That's right, which explains why the book is 900 pages.
I was going through it. You know, he could have done the whole thing like in 10, 15 pages. But no, this book is 900 pages, which